Hi there, welcome to this week's episode of the Heart of a Youth Leader podcast. My name's Andy Castle, founder and CEO of Thrive Youth Ministries, based in the Midlands, in Warwickshire, and serving Warwickshire and Coventry, and the wider youth work tribe. It's great to have your company. These are short weekly episodes on your favourite podcast provider or on YouTube. If you want to see what I look like, don't know why you'd want to do that. But they're here to inspire and to encourage each of us working with children and young people in a local church setting. That it's not a podcast about tips and tricks to youth work. There's so many great podcasts for that. But this is about keeping our heart healthy and keeping our heart fixed and focused on Jesus, that our eyes are on him because he knows what we need to do in every situation. And it's so easy, isn't it, to get caught up in busyness and doing stuff and doing ministry that we get tired and we get exhausted and we run dry of our own spiritual health. And so it's called the Heart of a Youth Leader because I want to encourage you to tend to your own soul well. The soul care of a youth leader is so vital if we're going to be fruitful and effective in reaching young people. If you find these useful, I'd love you to share it with whoever you know who might be interested. We're in a very niche audience, but it's always fantastic hearing about the people who find it useful. So if there's anything you want to comment on or encourage me with, then please do get in touch via the links. If you've listened to me before, if you've heard any of these episodes, you'll know one of the things I'm really keen to reinforce is that we do things with God, not for God. And yet it's so easy, isn't it, to be thinking, well, I'm going to do this and I hope God blesses it. I wonder what your prayer time is like before your youth group happens and what you pray for. And does it declare in our expectations of the prayers that we expect God to make a difference? Or does it declare in our prayers that we expect God to bless what we've prepared? And I find, if I'm honest, in my own experience, it's a bit of the sort of in between the two. We've kind of done a lot of work and a lot of preparation, so we're going, please help me with what I've prepared. But also we're going, but Lord, we really want you to take the lead. But I wonder if it could be more. And I wonder what your conversations are like with the Lord. I wonder what your prayer time is like with him. One of the beauties of having scripture is we get to see some of the heroes of faith in their conversations with God. I particularly love Moses in Exodus because his conversations with the Lord are recorded so much that you think he's having a conversation. It doesn't feel like he's having a prayer time where he's praying and waiting on the Lord. It's written as if, you know, it's just two people sitting on a bench in the park having a conversation. And I just love that image of prayer, that actually I can be in that place where I can ask God something and I can hear, not necessarily physically, I've never actually audibly heard God's voice, but I have just that sense that I know that's him talking back to me. And I want that. The passage that I want us to look at today is Exodus chapter 33. Moses has led the people out of Egypt, the Israelites out. They are now getting to grips with what it's like being in the desert place, trying to wait on the Lord daily for his provision. And yet Moses has gone up the mountain, been given the Ten Commandments, only to come down and see that Joshua, meanwhile, and all the Israelites have been making their own idols, and Moses, in his temper and his anger, smashes the tablets, and he then comes to the Lord in sort of frustration and what am I going to do? And so we pick up the story in Exodus 33 verse 12, and these verses are so rich. There's so much we could talk about, but I'm going to try and keep us brief if we can. It says in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, Teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. It's like Moses is going, God, I'm trying, but I need more of you. I need more of your assistance. And I love that line, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. What a great prayer for us. Lord, if you're pleased with me, teach me more. Show me how I can be more like you and how I can continue to have your favor in my leadership. I don't want it to be about me. I don't want to be building my empire. I want to be building your kingdom. And the Lord replies this wonderful line, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Moses, no doubt, is exhausted. He's exasperated from the people's responses. And I really relate to that in youth work. We can be like, oh, just doing all I can and it's making no difference. And yet the Lord says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. The closer we are to God, the more we get his rest. The more he invites us into that state of rest, of peace. Not of anxiety, of rushing, of exhaustion, but of rest. And then Moses said this wonderful line, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. The Lord knows you by name. He knows me by name. And he is pleased with us. And so our prayer should be the same as Moses of, do not send me from this place if you do not go with me. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. I heard of a vicar or a church leader who he in his daily morning quiet time devotions prayed this prayer and basically committed to not leaving God's presence in that prayer time until he had clarity of what God wanted him to do that day. And I was just like, that's amazing to be that disciplined that Lord, I'm not going to go until I know what you want me to do today. Rather than, Lord, I've got 5 minutes because I've got a meeting to go to, or I've got all my diaries packed and I've got these to-do lists that I've got to do. It's like, no, Lord, if you're not going with me, I may as well just stay here because there's no point me turning my attention to anything if we're not going together. And then I retold this story to another church leader once, whose immediate reaction was, well, is their church growing? And I was like, I don't actually know. It's not one of those churches where you hear of massive revival or an influx of families or anything like that. And the intonation from this church leader was, well, that seems a bit of a waste of time, because surely if they're spending time with God, the church should be growing. And it was almost like that's an excuse for inactivity. And yet we confuse activity with obedience to Christ. Activity is an excuse sometimes. Our obedience is even when it's uncomfortable, going, God, it's you who's building your kingdom, not the other way around. We get to partner with him. He invites us to join in. He chooses to work through us. But the only way he can work through us effectively and fruitfully is when we actually commit to spending time in his presence. To having this conversation with him, to be honest with him, to go, Lord, you've been telling me to do these things, but it doesn't feel like we're getting anywhere. I'm exhausted. I don't know what to do. I've run out of actions. Please teach me your ways. Help me to have your favor. And I need your presence to go with me. If your presence doesn't go with me, I get no rest. If your presence doesn't go with me, what's the point? So this week, I challenge you to spend time in the Lord's presence and just asking him to teach you more of his ways, to understand more of his presence in your life and in your ministry, and to ask him, what does he want you to do this week? And to wait until you hear what is the thing he wants you to do? And the thing is, it probably won't be massive. It might be just sending a text to someone, or it might be doing something kind for a neighbor, or it might be a complete rewrite of what you're expecting to do in your youth meeting that afternoon, that evening. Who knows? But it's his presence that we need, rather than us going out on his behalf. And the Lord will go with us when we wait for him. Have a great week. I'd love to hear how you get on. So do keep in touch. Go for it.